When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This little bitty town, it ain't nothing new. We all stick around, 'cause they all tell us to.
The All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a Southern Storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, now on Pantheon Podcasts with great shows like The Hook Rocks with our buddy Jay Scott.
Which we just did an episode with.
We just talked to him last night, and then that will, I don't know when it's coming out, but hopefully soon. We had a grand time talking to him last night, and there's also plenty other great shows. So great to be part of Pantheon.
Yeah, just check out Pantheon Podcast, the website, all of the social medias. You'll see a very good slate of art of podcasts out there, all music related.
Yeah, and one good thing is that I've always been fascinated with rock and roll, and going back more, probably as far as the mid to the late 60s, is people like, you know, going, especially like I'll bring up Deadheads, Grateful Dead fans, and Deadheads going from show to show to show, you know, for years, and getting to know each other as family. And of course, bands that, you know, you want to call like the jam band scene or whatever, that maybe started sprouting up in the late 80s, early 90s and stuff. Of course, the Crows have been like that, you know, and Government Mule and you know, Dave Matthews,
Allman Brothers forever,
Brothers and plenty, you know, plenty of others that people that go to a lot of shows have always admired that, and it's great to have that kind of commitment. So we are fortunate enough to have a guest that's done just that, a friend of ours, you know, that we met through the State of America family on State Hall.
Yeah, yeah, Rex is, he's just all about the music. He's always positive. He's at every show you could possibly want to go to. And he's really established a good relationship with a lot of the bands and artists that we like to have on there, particularly around the Dirty Honey and the Black Crowes group.
Yeah, he's just, you know, what else can I say? He's been to so many shows, and he's, you know, spent some time hanging out with Charlie from Blackberry Smoke, and you know, done some meet and greets with Chris and Rich, and you'll hear all about that and so many other artists that he's into, shows he's been to. And I don't know what else to say, but have you guys kick back and relax and listen to our discussion with Rex, our friend from the State of America family, talking all about all these shows and rock and roll and everything else.
Yeah, I know where you've been.
guest segment of the podcast. Jason is going to introduce our awesome guest to you guys.
For sure. And it's, man, I'm really excited to talk to him today because we've always chatted through social media, all these various groups that we're in. And it's, well, I just want to say it's Rex, the guy you met or gone to a show with or hope you go to a show with, Cunningham, super rock music fan. How you doing, Rex?
I'm doing great. Glad to be on, guys. Finally, glad we could finally get it together and stuff. And I was joking around when we first when I first got here. I'm in Atlanta today for a show tonight, actually. Going to a
Wait a minute. Club. You're going to a show tonight? Come
believe
on.
It not, believe, man, believe it or not, man. Believe it or not. I mean, going to Group Love. They got a new album coming out tomorrow, and they have an album release party. Now I'm getting to go to that. And so I'm up in Atlanta at the finest hotel in all of Atlanta. Which, if you can smell the sarcasm in that, you know, coming across, it's definitely there. But, yeah, I'm glad to be here and glad to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Absolutely. You are a concert veteran. I don't even know where to start, really. I mean, you want to start at your, we were just discussing before we started recording your first.
Well, how do we know Rex? Let's get into that before we go into this background. How do we know Rex, Brian?
We know Rex through our chat group, Stay Tall, with the State of America family. Several Black Crow shows. I don't know. Do we start there? Where do you want to start? You just go. You go and.
I'll tell you. It's been a crazy road. I mean, I think you guys have probably seen. I'm pretty active on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. I took a little hiatus earlier this year, just to kind of like get back in touch with living in the moment, and got to see some Blackberry Smoke shows without. And I felt bad afterwards because Charlie and me followed each other on Instagram and stuff, and I wasn't posting anything. 4 months later, I'm back on there posting stuff. But let me tell you, well, I had the opportunity to say that Charlie Starr is without a doubt the nicest guy in rock and roll, and definitely the Blackberry Smoke is one of the best times I've ever had, especially doing the European leg of the tour, some of the shows I got to see over there. But yeah, you know, it kind of things started out for me really in 1976. My brother had gone and seen the Doobie Brothers. And my mom had taken him to see the Doobie Brothers. So, you know, I was in sixth grade and I was, you know, walking around pissed off like a little rock and roller is. And I'm like, hey, mom, when are you going to take me to go to a concert? You know, and it's like, yeah, you're not old enough. You're not old enough. Well, after bitching and moaning long enough, mom took me and my best friend and my brother and one of his friends. The day I got out of sixth grade, I went to see Aerosmith in Mobile, Alabama. I was 11 years old at an Aerosmith show in 1976. And, you know, walking around, the smells were all there and everything like that. But, you know, even then, it was like walking into home, you know. I mean, just getting there and seeing, and the music's blasting, the music before the show. And I think it was Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush opened.
Oh, man. I know, dude. Artist, man. Oh, man.
So, you know, that was the beginning of feeling at home, you know, and it was all I ever wanted to do. I was a big Elton John fan when I was a kid. You know, I drove my mom crazy until she bought me Madman Across the Water, and still one of my favorite albums, you know. And you know, it kind of progressed from there. And then in the 80s, I got out, played some music. I ran sound for a band for about 4 years, and wandered into the Nick in Birmingham, Alabama one night to go see a buddy of mine play in a band called Plaid Camels. And all of a sudden these guys come walking in with, you know, velvet on and, you know, these like real 70s looking garb. And I'm like, this guy's not about to plug that Telecaster into that 100-watt Marshall Hashtag. There's no way. And, you know, Mr. Crow's Garden, you know, and it was like me and a couple of friends. And so that kind of launched a love for music, a new regenerated love for music.
Listen, you're a huge Black Crowes fans. Brian and I are Black Crowes fans. Very few of us, or very few people we know, ever got to see them in the incarnation of Mr. Crow's Garden. Like, what did they sound like? Did they impress you?
So the thing, like I said, you know, early on, I got to see Mr. Crow's Garden twice. Saw him at the Nick in Birmingham, and then saw him at W.C. Don's opening for Will and the Bushmen. Over at W.C. Don's, a famous club in Jackson, Mississippi, that's been there for years. It's closed up since, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it was like the Faces or, you know, the early Rod Stewart stuff. The first thing they came out with, and I asked Rich, and he looked at me, it's like, you're really asking me to remember a set list from, you know, 35 years ago? And I was like, it was either Stay With Me or losing you. I think it was Losing You was what they used to open with. I can't remember, but they came out, they opened with that. And I mean, I was just blown away. You know, we were like standing like, what the hell is this? Because nobody was doing that, man. You know, I mean, it was alternative. You know, this is the time of, you know, REM being real big. And then also you had beginnings of grunge. And then of course, you know, Pearl Jam, which let me go on and get out of the way. Let me blaspheme. I'm not a Pearl Jam fan at all. A lot of people, I mean, I like them. They're all right. But Pearl Jam's like, I mean, it's like, it's almost like bad-mouthing Bono or God or something around most Pearl Jam fans. So, I mean, but that was all starting. And in the midst here, we had this band that was, you know, part rock, part blues. And just, I mean, it was that thing that was been inside me my whole life with Southern rock and with, you know, with blues music, even though at times when I denied it, being punk rocker for years too, huge Ramones fan, saw those guys a bazillion times. And, but you know, I mean, to hear them come out and play that and hear the tone, I just remember Rich's tone, the same tone that he really has now. Yeah, it's been tweaked and everything like that, but that nice fat bluesy tone on guitar. I'm a bass player, but I'm also a guitar player, so I really appreciate that. But yeah, they were incredible, man. And I mean, the funniest thing about that gig at the Nick, it was literally me and the guy who played keyboards in the band that I was working for, our two prospective ex-wives that would both become our future ex-wives. And did a buddy of mine, John McElroy, who ran sound at the Nick. He worked for Delbert McClinton for years too. And Johnny Mac, and that was it. It was like literally we saw the Black Crowes, four of us in the bar, and Dolly, the bartender that worked at the Nick at the time. But yeah, they were, you know, early on they made a huge impression. And it was, you know, about a year and a half to 2 years later, I was sitting in Tampa, Florida, came home from work and my little 13-inch whatever TV, color TV it was, watching MTV, and you know, and Jealous Again comes on, and we might have been partaking at the time, I'm not real sure. So it was sitting, I was like, hold on, wasn't that those guys we saw at the Nick open up for Charles and them at the Plaid Camels? And we were like, just, you know, and like I said, so it was good, man. WC Don's gig was always good. That was the gig, I think, where Rich had to sit out in the car because he wasn't old enough. They've talked about that and stuff before. So
just, yeah, I could just come in to play the show, but not
just play the show. You could hang out. Yeah. Yeah. We actually, in Vegas, when I saw him in Vegas, I got to spend a little time backstage, you know, and talk to him for just a few minutes and stuff. And we talked about it. And actually Chris remembered the WC Don's gig very, you know, because WC Don's, most places when they would, when the venue would close, most places would go in and they'll sweep everything up or they'll have a blower or something like that. They had a riding lawnmower. They used to ride around and just blow all their cups and stuff. So only in Mississippi, baby. So, but yeah, they were incredible. They've always impressed me from the beginning. Anybody, I'm a huge Stones fan. So of course, when I heard them, that was the first thing my heart jumped because I was like, oh my God, the guy's playing an open G, you know, and with a big fat tone. So yeah, it was incredible, man. And you know, so you know, it's been a good road with them. Been a very good road with them.
You let me get have, you know, a figured grand total of Crow shows that you've seen from that point forward, and in what point did you get to meet those guys, and how often have you been able to talk to those guys?
So I would say, really, to be honest with you, like I said, so probably a total maybe of in the mid-30s or something like that, with most of those being the bulk of, you know, since the reunion of Chris and Rich and the band reformation. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I did 18 of the Shake Your Moneymaker shows, and then I've done almost every one of the, well, not every one of them, but I did all the Vegas shows and then the Red Rock shows this past year and the two the year before. And you know, really, to be honest with you, the door into spending a little bit of time with them has been really through Dirty Honey. I know that you guys have talked about Dirty Honey on here before and stuff too, and them having the same management. And it was kind of funny because I was seeing when Chris and Rich first came back and were doing the Brothers of the Feather show, I went to the one in Nashville at the Basement East. And so anyway, I'm there on a Monday night or Tuesday night. And 5 days later, I'm at the El Rey Theater in L.A. in West Hollywood seeing Dirty Honey play like their first big hometown gig. And I met Mark, their manager, who's also the same management guy for the for the Black Crowes and stuff.
Mark Didia, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I went up to go up and introduce myself to him, and he was like, "I know who you are." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, you know, and I mean, I'm like, "Hold on, this guy manages Slash, you know, Smashing Pumpkins and stuff." And I'm like, he's like, "Oh yeah, we're friends on Facebook." I was like, "We are?" And he's like, "Yeah, man." You know, so we kind of got to know each other, and then following Dirty Hunting around, you know, it's been, it's like everything else. You show up, you go, and you have a good time, and you don't worry about what people's thinking about. The band remembers who you are. I didn't really get any time back in the day. Like, you know, the last tour I saw was the By Your Side tour at the Alabama Theater. And but I see it right there. I see it. That's the first thing I noticed. So let me tell you something. I think, Jason, you're the one also. You're a big fan of that album, right?
I am.
Because you're not alone. Welcome to the Good Times. It's like one of my favorite songs about the Crowes. And the thing is like, I was also the same way about Three Snakes and a Charm. It was good, but that album to me sounded like what they needed.
That brought me back to the Crowes. The Crowes, I remember the Rockin' Crowes. Yep.
And it's funny because that album came into play so much during COVID for me. There's so many songs on that album that kind of got me through that time because 2020 wasn't the easiest year.
A lot
year.
Of upbeat stuff, just, you know, high energy. Yeah. Like, you know, it was a dark time. You listen to that music, you do feel better.
And it definitely was. But, you know, since then, you know, I've had some really good times. You know, I've done a few meet and greets and some of the stuff like that, just little outsides. You know, I can't thank, you know, Mark enough for like they treat me like a king all the time. Same way with Dirty Honey shows and stuff like that. It makes me feel great, man. Cause I'm not doing anything that I don't see why anybody else ain't doing, because I'm just out there enjoying what I love. And I don't really give a rat's ass what anybody thinks. I'm going to dance. I'm going to have a good time. The best compliment. Well, one of the best compliments I ever got was after I was at the West Palm show for the Crowes back on the Shake Your Money Maker part of the tour. And then the next night I went to Tampa and I did the meet and greet, and I went back and I came around the corner and Chris called me out by name and said, "Rex, you were the only motherfucker that was out there dancing last night, man. You were the only guy that we saw dancing the whole time." I said, "I don't understand how people don't dance." You know what I'm saying? So I really enjoyed the GEA shows, especially because you do get to shake your money maker. You do get to move about and, you know, you get to meet a lot of people. And it's with the Crowes, it's been very cathartic for me. I've met some great people. You know, I got some West Coast friends, you know, Monica and Robert and Jay.
Yeah,
and
Monica. Yeah.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Mo's like, that's my heart right there. And I mean, she, and it's funny because we met at a Dirty Honey show at that El Rey, the same one with the night of me meeting Mark Didia. And so we were like, we were standing right next to each other at Dirty Honey and had no idea that we were both such big Black Crowes fans. So we kept in touch and everything through Dirty Honey. And then after the Crowes, you know, started going again, it was, we've done a lot of shows together. It was great to be with her and all my friends at Red Rocks last year. That was tremendous. And, you know, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing some more shows. I'm ready for some new music with those guys. And from what I hear, it is coming. And
you would know. So you're telling us,
I don't know anything official. I know what somebody
your gut feeling.
Man, they've got songs written. You think that Chris and Rich aren't going to, they're writing. So, you don't think they don't want to record? I think that it took, I mean, yes, okay. The 72 album was a dip into the studio, I think, to see how things were going to work. And I think as we've seen since then, you know, with Isaiah leaving and Joel gone and stuff like that. And now, you know, with Nico, which, you know, I'm a big Nico fan too. And I was, you know, and it was funny because, you know, he's been at all the Red Rock shows that I've been to. He was there and stuff. And I'm sitting there going, knowing that, you know, I mean, I loved Isaiah, don't get me wrong and stuff like that. But it was kind of, I think everybody kind of thought he had his foot in, you know, Earthless, halfway in Earthless, his own band. And
he's a great player, but Nico's a better fit for the Crows.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was that night, the last time I got any time to speak with Chris and Rich, the first thing I said when we went back, I said, I just want to tell you, man. I said, Nico looks so much better and sounds so much better up there. He is a fit for you guys. And Rich looked at me and goes, you fucking ain't right, he is. That's exactly what he said. So I was like, and you know, I just want them to know that that's what I think should have been happening. I think they're building something here. And I think when the band's ready and the band's set, I think now they can progress with recording something, because it's just like anything else. Nico don't want to go in and have to play Isaiah's songs that he recorded, especially when he's now they have the opportunity to do these new songs. So we'll see. You know, like I said, I haven't heard anything official. I've heard something from somebody that may or may not, you know. So I think that they've got some time before the, you know, Aerosmith tour to do some stuff too. So I'm hoping that we'll get, you know, I'll even take an EP of new stuff, of original stuff and everything. But yeah, you know, it's like I said, it's been fun with those guys, and it's opened up my doors, you know, to meet so many cool people, and you know, and I got to see Charlie play with them, at Jazz Fest. Well, funny story. I'll try to be real quick about the story. So
you don't have to be quick, man. People want to hear you talk. Trust me.
So I'd been talking to Charlie, and I was all excited because, you know, I just went to my first Blackberry Smoke show back in November. I'd seen him. I'll say that I actually attended. It was Homecoming, this past Homecoming. And I was at a festival they played at one time, and I was kind of aloof and far away from it. So I could say that one. So, you know, even before that, me and Charlie had made contact and stuff, and he had said some really kind things, made me feel really good about, you know, about what I was doing with shows and stuff and going to see him. And he appreciate my excitement and enthusiasm. And so we went, and I don't know if you guys ever been to New Orleans, but Jazz Fest is notoriously hot as hell and humid. So my girlfriend, who is a big Black Crowes fan, so you don't see her travel with me much to any other shows, but you'll see her at Crowes shows sometimes. So anyway, she got overheated. We don't drink. We don't do anything. We don't partake anymore. We, you know, not that we didn't used to, but now it's all, you know, clean and sober living for us. But she did the dip. The sun got to her. She passes out. Now, let me stop the story there and reference back to 2018 when the same thing happened. And, you know, cue the Joe Cocker. I pick her up. It's Richard Gere. And, you know, and I'm like, just like an officer and general, I'm carrying her through the crowd and getting her out, you know, love, lift us up. And, and I get her sat on the ground and go get Gatorade. And I get the Gatorade back, and I'm giving her the Gatorade. And I look at her, and I said, I'm going back to the front now. She just looked at me like, and she just looked at me and said, just go. So, 2022, we're at Jazz Fest, and same thing happens, and they're literally carrying her over the thing, over the barricade and stuff, and they're getting her over the barricade, and they're starting to carry, and she just looks at me, she's like, oh no, motherfucker, don't even think about it. So we had to go to the medical tent and stuff like that. So the whole time your Boss Gags was on, she got better, and I'm sitting there going, man, am I really going to miss Charlie playing with the Crowes? I'm trying to be the concerned boyfriend. And she's like, They're like, okay, you're good to go. And I'm like, well, you know, it's a pretty long walk back to the car. Maybe we should sit on the grass and rest for a little bit. So we got what my usual spot, you know, I'm a little bit of a seat snob. I like to be up front. I like to be in as much in the music as I can be. And we were back, but it was great to see Charlie. And then after the show, man, after the show, I get a text from Charlie. Hey, where were you at? And I just, you know, I mean, just for him to go out of the way and say that guy, yeah, like I said, just he's head and shoulders above a lot of people in this industry as far as like, and, you know, could have the huge ego and rock star, and that guy's nothing but a down home humility. And I love that about it, man. And, but yeah, I mean, so that was, you know, so that was my chance to get the first time I got to see Charlie play was actually with the Black Crowes. So, and I mean, he sounded great.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, you know, it's been fun watching him. And I, you know, I got to see Nico, his first show with him out in Vegas and stuff. And, That was a good show. Other than the crowd was kind of a little bit dead. In fact, it was funny. I don't know if anybody's seen a video. I think they got a YouTube video of it, possibly of Chris. They come out, and I mean, when you see the white SG with the triple humbuckers, you know you're about to get No Speak, No Slave. They open with No Speak, No Slave. We're up losing our minds, and people are just sitting down in the crowd and just sitting there. And Chris comes up afterwards and says, glad to be in Vegas on a Saturday night. Even you disrespectful motherfuckers sitting down during the first song or like that. We just lost, man. I mean, we're pointing at people around. So anyway, it's like I said, I've had some great times and trying to expand now and going to see some different bands and some genres and stuff. And if y'all follow me on Instagram and all that stuff, and you know, like last year, one of the most diverse things I did, I was at the stadium tour in Vegas, seeing Motley Crue and Def Leppard and, you know, Joan Jett and Classic Act. And I was there, I think it was on a Saturday. And then like on Tuesday, I was at Lady Gaga in Houston, which that, I mean, like I am a fan.
She's kind of rocky though. She can be, I know she's got the old production stuff, but man, she can do some rock stuff.
Well, it was the day after my birthday, actually. And she is with my girlfriend, my get out of jail free card. So I figured I was going to go there. And
you're going to take your shot.
Yeah, my grand machismo, me and 30,000, or excuse me, probably 50,000 other people in Minute Maid Park. I was like, yeah, she didn't even see me. I was heartbroken. So, yeah, you know, but anyway, I'm just, like I said, I'm trying to get out now and see some different genres, some different type bands, and get to know, I love getting to meet the fans, man. Getting to meet the other fans is one of the biggest things that I do this about, my travel. So, go ahead, man. You got one, Brian?
You actually answered my question. I was going to go to Blackberry Smoke next, and you can already cover. It's very cool that you've gotten to know Charlie a little bit more. You know, I met him at a meet and greet in Madison, and of course, he's been on the podcast twice. So it's cool that like he recognized you and texted you and all that. Yeah, he is a great guy.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, I got to go over this past March. It's just dumb luck. I won't even tell you how cheap this flight was to go fly to, flew into Paris, and I got to see them in Paris and at the Bataclan, which I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Bataclan, but that was the site of the Eagles of Death Metal, the tragedy that happened back in 2018.
Oh, yeah, the shooting or whatever.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was kind of like, and I didn't even know that was the place I was going to until I was like getting on the plane. I just happened to be on Google right before, you know, I got on the plane. I was like, oh crap. So, and, you know, you're thinking, don't say nothing. Everybody in line was talking about it. And I don't even speak French. Trust me, extent of my French comes from Ratatouille, and that's about it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Ratatouille and some like other French, you know, movie I saw about 20 years ago, and that's, I'm not good with it. So, but I did wind up meeting some young guys, Thomas, a buddy of mine that I made out there. He's a guitar player, big John Mayer fan and stuff. And dude's just incredible guitar player, but we met but there's something about going to see a band in a country that doesn't speak English, but One Horse Town comes on and everybody knows the words, man. Everybody knows the word. They may not know any other English, but they know it. I've got a video and I listen to that all the time. You know, Charlie would come up and put the mic out and listen to these guys singing along to the song that I love. That is, if there is a song that is my life story, that's it. You know what I'm saying? I got to tell them that not too long ago is that, you know, that was my brother, me and my brother. that was our story right there. You know, except our dad passed when we were young, and he was a musician and stuff. But I mean, we were the same way. We grew up playing baseball and all that stuff. And you know, I live in Pascagoula, Mississippi, which I don't know how many people know even where that's at, but it's on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and down by Biloxi. And I tell everybody most of the time I'm just from New Orleans. It's easier to say because we're like an hour and a half from New Orleans. And even though I wouldn't claim from being Louisiana, Roll Tide. And that's the other thing me and Charlie don't agree on too. He's an Auburn fan. I'm an Alabama fan. So I had to poke at him a little bit. But anyway, so being over there, seeing them there, and then getting to follow them up. And I went up to Glasgow and saw them in Glasgow. And I don't know if you guys have ever been over to Scotland, but like Glasgow, Scotland is like the biggest honky tonk in the world. That's not in the South, man.
We found that out from one of our guests, Dennis Jordan, who's a guitar player, blues guy from there. Yeah.
Dude, it is without a doubt. I mean, you hear about rock being so much bigger in the UK and everything like that. And it's more, I won't say it's bigger. It's just more.
They're accepted. More appreciative of different styles and, you know,
dude, I mean, like I had a buddy that lives in Glasgow, Dave, and he was like, he literally was like, man, you got to do me a favor. And I was like, what, if I can do it, I will. He's like, I want a Georgia Thunderbolts t-shirt and they won't ship to Scotland. So I went and I ordered the Georgia Thunderbolts, which I have to tell you, Georgia Thunderbolts had my
great band. Shirt there.
In two days, I had that shirt and it was on the way to Scotland. And so when I was over the last time, but I got to go and see Smoke in Glasgow with him and then Robbie and another buddy of mine. And we just had the best time standing up on the front. And I mean, just we were right up front and then got to go backstage and hang out for a little bit. And I tell you, man, it's, you know, those guys are always, well, Smoke always puts on a hell of a show. And Glasgow always. Was like perfectly set. If you could, I mean, if you get the chance to ever see them over there or overseas, anywhere like that, any band, I mean, everybody I've ever seen, I think, and I love my country. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, it just seems like the crowds are more. Rival Sons. Oh, Rival Sons is like freaking Foo Fighters over there, practically. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I got to see their tour last year over there with Dirty Honey, and it was, and I mean, I was just sitting there, I was like, oh, wow, this is what all my friends are talking about. So, but yeah, it's great. Smoke is tremendous. And
never put a bad show on, always a great show, always.
Never. And I have to tell you, I got the best compliment that I've ever gotten at a Blackberry Smoke show in the men's room. And it's not going to be like that. So at homecoming, I went to the, I had to go to the restroom. I go in the bathroom and I'm walking out and all of a sudden some guy grabs me by the arm and the guy grabs me the arm and I'm like looking at him and all of a sudden he's like, I just want to say one thing to you, man. And he looks at me, he gets real quiet. And he goes, you're at every show I go to. And I was like, I try, man. It was like, I walked off going, I was like, that may be the best compliment I've ever got. And I was like, that's my goal. But, you know, at the same time, I was like, just to be noticed, that somebody saw me, that I guess that I was having good enough time that they noticed me. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I think we need to see a lot more shows, people dance and letting go. Man, world's a hard
positivity.
Place.
Positivity. Brings people to your orbit just because you're having a good time, you enjoy it, you enjoy everything you do, and people like are, you know, like a magnet pull to right. towards you.
I ran two girls off the rail at Blackberry Smoke in Paris. I think they were just tired of listening to me jabber, you know, something like that. And all of a sudden I just turned around and got this dirty look and they walked off. I was like, all right, thanks. Hey, we got barricade, you know. So me and my buddy Thomas that I made there, we actually bonded over that. So, you know, two girls I didn't know, I lost them and got to see Smoke on the rail in Paris. Good day. I consider that. Plus, I got to go to Jim Morrison's grave that morning. So, huge Doors fan.
Awesome. You mentioned Dirty Honey and seeing them. Then you just mentioned the Georgia Thunderbolts. Have you seen them? And also, like, we've had the pleasure of talking to so many of these younger Southern rock, blues rock kind of bands from the Southeast. Anyone else that catches your ears?
Well, you know, I mean, and the thing was is that, you know, there's a lot of bands from, I haven't seen Georgia Thunderbolts yet, and I need to do something about that. I know that they I've been available to. It's just like everything else, you know, getting in the car and driving it. And sometimes it's like, don't think about it, just go. Don't worry about it, it'll all work out. You know, and believe it or not, people always think I have some kind of master plan. Not really. It's just kind of show up and hope everything works out. And it usually does, as long as you stay within your, you know, within your responsibility, being a fan of the band and being attending some venue. But, you know, there was a band, and I think they changed names recently. I don't know if you're familiar with Magnolia Bayou. I know they're
guitar
player. I know Dylan left and very good, you know, those guys down here. And then,
well, yeah, they were down from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, they're from Gulfport, right down the road and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I know that the rest of the guys, Josh and the rest of them, are out now, and they're going on and stuff. And Cedric, super cool guys, great guys. I'm wishing them the best. You know, the not from my neck of the woods, but South Hall, that was opening up for Smoke over in Europe. Those guys were really good too, man. And I mean, you know, and it's kind of funny because New Orleans should be my go-to for shows, and they do get some of these bands, but it's either you have to catch them. It's usually during Jazz Fest. It's usually after Jazz Fest show or something like that. Like, Marcus King, you know, who I love, you know, he's always been a big part of Jazz Fest. I've seen some great late night shows with him over there, but really, to be honest with you, I mean, New Orleans does not get the crowds or the shows that, you know, I prefer to see too much. I didn't get to see Jack White, you know, but it's usually around festivals and stuff like that. But right now, you know, like I said, you know, I'm really hoping these guys, the leftover guys from Magnolia Bayou, do something. And then, you know, of course, I kind of lost touch with Local Flavor after my favorite dark horse that I thought was going to be the next big runner, Bishop Gunn, disbanded back, you know, a few years ago and stuff. And that was like a little bit of a heartbreaker. And I met Drew at Carter Vintage back in 2017.
Oh, in Nashville?
Yeah, he was working, he just joined Bishop Gunn that week and stuff. And that's another guy right there. I can't say enough good things about him. I'm so happy to see him playing with Marcus now, man. And it's like, I was following the Bishop Gunn guys around a lot all over the place, and, you know, getting to know Drew and Travis and all of them. And, you know, and it was a little bit of a heartbreak, but, you know, I think that Drew has landed somewhere where he's supposed to be. And I've seen him playing with Marcus, a handful of times now, and I think it frees Marcus up to be the master of ceremonies, having another good guitar player on there. Mm-hmm. It was a little disconcerting to see these guys, you know, opening for the Rolling Stones, and then 6 months later, they're disbanded and stuff, you know. And I mean, the only thing I could think about that is, I don't know if you know or not, but the Allman Brothers, the museum, or whoever has Dwayne's Gold Top.
Yeah, the Big House Museum, right, Macon?
Big House Museum flew it to Houston, and Drew played Dwayne's Gold Top opening for the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure, but other than Salma Hayek coming over and curtsying on my face, I don't think there's going to be a better day than that in anybody's life I could ever have. I was like, I mean, I was so happy for him, man, you know. And like I said, the guy's a great guy, and he's a great player. And, you know, and I'm hoping the other guys, maybe we'll see some more music out of those guys. But like I said, you know, right now it's been a lot of I've been going back and revisiting some bands that I haven't seen since COVID kind of officially ended. I don't know if that's – I think it's an official end now, but you know, some bands that are not really in the Southern Rock so much, as far as like the Blue Stones. And I'm up here, like I said, for Group Love.
I hear a lot about the Blue Stones. Of course, y'all know, I've never really checked them out.
So they're from Canada, Windsor, Ontario, and one of the two-man bands, and kind of like, you know, I love Black Keys and White Stripes. And they're a little bit more, I mean, they've worked with Paul Meany from Mute Math on a couple of albums early on, their first two albums. Their first album to me is probably definitely in my top 20. I don't know about my top 10, but definitely in my top 20 favorite albums. And Paul Meany is the guy, he's also worked with 21 Pilots and stuff like that, but he's based out of New Orleans. He's actually doing some work right now with one of the more, I don't know what you'd call him, pop or not, young blood, who I've seen actually a couple of times, stuff like that. British, you know, I say British kid. I never try to call them kids because it just makes me feel old. It doesn't make them feel, it makes me feel more old than young. But anyway, but yeah, so that I just saw them out in LA and got to go see them at Blue Stones at Troubadour, which is if you ever have a chance to go to a show there, I highly recommend it too, because it's and it's funny because I lived in Birmingham, Alabama for a number of years, and there was a club there called Louie Louie's, and Louie Louie's was like where we all played, and we all, you know, I ran sound there. I actually ran sound for Bono for three quarters of a song.
Three quarters.
Bono got on three quarters of a song. So the reason being is this was 1989, yeah, right, whatever year Rattlin' Hum came out, and Bono and Adam Clayton walked in the club on a Thursday night, and Bono got up and did Where the Streets Have the Name about three quarters of the way through, and I'm sitting there going, I'm running sound for Bono, I'm running, and one patch chord and hit record, I could have got the whole thing. Nah, so anyway, but that club that happened at, Louie Louie's, reminded, it's closed down now, but when I walked in the Troubadour the first time I ever went there was to see Marcus King Band with Bishop Gunn open. Actually, that was, wow, the first time I saw Bishop Gunn too. And this was 2018, and walked in, and I was, the first thing I saw, I was like, this looks like Louie Louie's in Birmingham. So, and I've seen Marcus there twice now, saw him back there back in 2021. And he did two sets, and I mean, that guy's just phenomenal, man. I mean, you can't go to a Marcus show and not be wild. I mean, just, he's the only guitar player I know that he can just sit there and play, and he's got a great voice, but he could just sit there and play, and I don't even give a rat's ass if he damn, you know. So, but you know, he sounded great, and I was, the first time I went in 2018, I was sold on him, and I was sold on Bishop Gunn, and I had the best time standing there in the middle of the Troubadour, this infamous or famous, you know, rock and roll club that, you know, Elton John played at back in the day. And everybody's played through there, including the Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, all my favorites growing up. You know, I don't know if Skinner ever played there or not. I don't think they did. I don't think Skinner ever played it. It'd be kind of hard to get all Skinner probably on the stage and stuff. But I was fortunate enough to see those guys pre-plane crash back in the 70s as a 13, 14-year-old kid. And that's, people always ask me, out of all the shows that you've been to, like, you know, what's the ones that really stand out? And that's the first one out of my mouth every time, is I was fortunate enough to get to see Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, with Ronnie Van Zandt.
The original version of Skynyrd.
The original Lynyrd Skynyrd in 77. I think it was like March, April, May, it was springtime, Street Survivors Tour, you know, they were like, they'd hit that next plateau with that album. I felt like, even though they had been around and they were huge, but it was kind of almost like, hey, Skynyrd can not only write a great rock ballad, but they could also write some radio-friendly songs like that Smell and I Know a Little and stuff like that that were on that album. And, you know, that tour was, you know, after One More from the Road, which, you know, it's the 70s. It's the era of the live album, you know, and the live album was boosting everybody's value. I mean, you look at Frampton, you know, you look at Frampton. Yeah. Kiss, you know, I mean, Kiss could barely get arrested before Alive, you know what I'm saying? They had a following, but that's what, you know, and then they recorded, and I'm doing fake exclamation mark, or whatever, expectation
quotation
point,
marks.
Quotation marks, thank you. I got dumb mouth as usual, but I'm talking about, yeah, you know, so they recorded that album, and then the next thing you know, they were all over lunchboxes and all over my damn room, you know. And but seeing Skynyrd Mobile, Alabama in 77, that was definitely, you know, a great time. And I can remember being a kid and going there, and at that time it was, you know, Southern rock had kind of got a stigma because punk was coming out and Van Halen was coming up. Well, Van Halen wasn't quite there yet, but you know, rock was starting to change a little bit, and Southern rock all of a sudden got to be dumb hick rock, you know, and stuff like that to a lot of people. And I'm like, you know, it's not like that. And even I, you know, I was, you know, I denied Skynyrd three times, you know, kind of like Peter, you know. I hate to say I did that, but there was the time, you know, when I had my leather jacket, my mullet haircut stuff, you know. And but yeah, so seeing Skynyrd there was great, you know. And then 6 months later, I remember coming home from a junior high football game, and and being up late and hearing about the plane crash, man, just, you know, it was literally like a moment. I think a lot of people older than me even remember, like, what they remember with JFK, I remember with Skinner and plane crash. And, you know, you want to hear a really cool story about, I have a really good Skinner story. So anyway, Katrina, Hurricane Katrina 2005, you know, I was, it hit, of course, where I live, it pretty much, you know, New Orleans was hit really hard. Mississippi Gulf Coast was, mm-hmm. I mean, they were just, they didn't even leave the houses, the debris, and just took it back out in the water. But so anyway, all my life I'd heard that there was a guy that lived close to me that was in a plane crash. Knowing that this guy has what's going on with him and stuff, but you want to bring it up, but you don't want to bring it up, but you want to bring it up, but you don't bring it up. And somehow planes came up one day and he just kind of brought it up and started telling me all about, you know, being in the crash and everything and hearing about it. And, you know, you see the documentaries and you've heard everything like that, but from somebody that was actually in it, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I'm a pretty emotional guy. I'm pretty sure I probably started crying right there when he's telling me about that. The one thing I remember from the story was he said as they were taking people off, that they pulled Ronnie Van Zant off the plane. The only damage to his body was a bruise down the side of his head, like it hit him in the temple. He slammed mm-hmm. his head. His, you know, and I mean, to hear that and stuff is just not, but to know somebody that, you know, that was in the plane crash. And I was still kind of like, you know, I need to verify this. I need to verify this, the fact checker. In 2018, I was at Muscle Shoals studio with Bishop Gunn for their Muscle Shoals 50th anniversary. And a buddy of mine, Rob Meadows out of Birmingham, he was one of the sponsors, and he invited me to come up, and Bishop was playing. And so anyway, in the artist lounge at Muscle Shoals studio, if you ever get to go there, in the artist lounge, sitting on the table was Gary Rossington's, God rest his soul, Gary Rossington's tour book, which back now it's an app, you know, but then, back mm-hmm. then it was actually a book that you open up. So anyway, I go in there and I'm looking through, and it's got where they're playing, where they're eating, who the support act is, yada, yada, yada. And it has crew on there. And I looked on there and there's the guy's name that I did the work for and stuff. I got pictures of it. I'll have to show you sometime. But it was just like, you know, I mean, to know somebody, it brought up a lot of feelings. And now, and to be honest with you, even at the time, I was still kind of, you know, I was denying some of my Southern rock roots. And even though I was going around following a band out of Natchez, Mississippi, all over the place, and, you know, I was a huge Black Crowes fan, you know, it got me back in touch with knowing that, you know, this is who I am. I have nothing to be ashamed of. Southern rock does not also condone any of this other stuff that's tied in with the South. And I mean, hey, I'm from Mississippi. We catch crap all the time, but you cannot deny that we are the birthplace of music and rock and roll, mm-hmm. especially. I mean, you mm-hmm. look at Howlin' Wolf, you know, Elvis, all the
people. Elvis, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but anyway, so it's been a long journey, you know, trying to be comfortable with who I am and embracing the music that I was raised on. So, you know, it's nice, like I said, but Skinner's always been a part of my life. You know, every band I've ever played in and every bar I've ever played in, the first thing I heard was Sweet Home Alabama or Freebird, and, you know, which I have to say, I've never played. I have played Sweet Home Alabama. I don't think I've ever played Freebird, but I have played Simple Man and Curtis Love. But anyway, yeah, Skinner's not always going to be, when you think about Southern rock, that's the first band that's going to come to mind, I think. I don't know. And there's so many, them and the Allman Brothers. And mm-hmm. I know you guys are probably big Allman Brothers fans like myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, y'all ever make it down to Macon? If you ever make it down to Macon, I highly say go to the little museum there and check it out. Get your picture made out there. Look like, you know, the Fillmore East album, and going in there and seeing some of the outfits and the clothes. And so it was a pretty emotional experience there too, because, you know, I always tell people, like, if by some chance I get to the pearly gates, and Peter's standing there, and it's going to be like a dance contest to get in. It's going to be a dance contest. Y'all need to drop the needle on One Way Out and get out the way, because I'm dancing my way into heaven just on One Way Out. Anybody that's ever seen the full body dry heave dance that I do when that comes on, it's a sight to behold. Anyway, yeah, that's it. Skinner's great, and I really enjoy living in the South this time of my life right now. Except for the weather, of course, but getting to share some of this experience, especially like I said, go to Scotland and share some of that experience with other people, and the people in Glasgow love it. They love that they pick me out as soon as I walk over there. They're over there speaking English that you can barely understand, and you're from the South, mate. You're from the South of the U.S. redneck stands out nowhere, wherever we are, man. We ain't got to just be in Walmart. We stand out everywhere.
There are rednecks and hillbillies in England, we found out through some of the British artists we've had on.
Without a doubt, man. I mean, I'm talking about, I've seen some guys. Well, most of all, like in Glasgow, I always say most of the shows I go to look like a Game of Thrones cast party, because everybody's got beards down. I mean, they make Richard Turner's beard look short. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's funny because I'll go over there. The first time I went, I was looking around and I was like, I just kept waiting for like Jon Snow to walk out or something. I mean, it's like, and they will let you know what the mix is like, because I was there for a show and the singer's voice was not up in the mix, and turn up the goddamn vocals. And I was like, it felt like, it's funny because you go to these places and you're going for this different experience, but then you seem to like the places that are most like home. And Scotland to me seems most like, it seems like the South, except it's in the north of the UK.
South, so. With a different accent and colder weather.
Exactly. And colder weather, though. A beautiful place. Very, very beautiful place. So. But yeah, it's, like I said, I'm looking, I am out there. You know, Brian, you asked me a question about 10 minutes ago, but I'm just saying is that I'm currently looking in, and like I said, I need to cut out some time to start seeing some new bands. You know, that band I'm seeing, Blackstone Cherry is another one. Been around for years. I play in a band with a drummer that loves that band, and I have not gone to see them yet. I got to get out, man, and maybe stay out of California, New York, and maybe it's right around the corner. I know there's some shows in Mobile coming up, Marcus King's coming up, but
have you seen them, Dirty Roses?
No, I haven't, and that's another one that I'm listening
to.
I do, and that's and the thing is like they have played New Orleans, and it's been like, I am easier to get on a plane to go to a show in freaking Omaha, Nebraska, than I am to drive an hour and a half. Sometimes it's just ridiculous, because if I had the option at the last minute, you know how we are, especially I won't say we are, but us older guys are, I'm like, let's see, I can sit on my ass and watch, CSI or whatever, or Netflix, and or some Selma Hayek movie. Yes. If you had noticed, she's also my other girl. So, yeah, but anyway,
you know, that's a good choice.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of her new Black Mirror episode. She's got this yellow.
Yeah, that was funny. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, my poor girlfriend had to sit down at the other end of the couch, and then be sitting there going, damn, wow, golly, how old is she? She's always been, every time I want to feel good about being a man, I put From Dusk Till Dawn on and watch The Snake Dance, the South has some great music coming out of it, and I need to get a little bit more in touch with stuff right now, and I Spotify. I'm not a vinyl guy. You guys vinyl guys?
I got a little bit.
Yeah, I bet. That's what the guy that says 4,000 albums standing somewhere around. I got a little bit.
No, really, I do.
Well, I've got like a couple of box sets. I try to stay up. I know, like a lot of other people, I use Spotify a lot, and go there and kind of like comb through the genres that I enjoy. But to be honest with you, I really start trying to get outside into other genres as well. You're not going to catch me at Coachella or anything like that, but I do listen to some pop stuff and try to see what I try to see the appeal of every artist. you know, and because there's something Tupac somebody
shows
seen
next week, man. I'm going to Belinda right Carlisle. And I'm doing two pop shows next week, Belinda Carlisle and Jenny Lewis.
Ah, I see. Now, Jenny Lewis, I mean, that's Jenny Lewis.
It's not really pop. It's like
pop. Yeah, I'll say yeah. Belinda Carlisle. Yeah. A recent when I was in, after the I was in Glasgow, I was like, I'm going to go see Ed Sheeran. I was like, you know, it's Glasgow. It's Ed Sheeran, yeah. You know, and so I go. And I said, and Ed, if you happen to hear this for somebody, it's not you. I fell asleep four songs in, man. I hiked all day long. I go to this Ed Sheeran show. I was like, I think I was the only single. I was by myself, a single guy at Ed Sheeran, which sounds like a dream come true. Yeah. But to be honest with you, I felt like the biggest. Everybody was looking at me like, what's the solo guy sitting in the seat by himself up there? Four songs in, I think I opted out and went and ate ice cream. So, which all my friends will tell you. If it comes down between ice cream and music, it's a hard choice for me. So Mo Young, she'll tell you right now. Me and Mo have ate some late night ice cream together. So they're having chats and stuff. You know, and I mean, I'm a huge Luther Dickinson fan. Huge, man.
Well, he's a Mississippi dude.
Yeah. And I mean, he's always, to me, he's, you know, he was another one that was at the Crows. He was in the Crows at the right time. I mean, I think for War Paint and all that, you know, it was like perfect time. Great player. I mean, North Mississippi All-Stars, everything he's done. And him and Steve, you know, I mean, I love it that they're out playing together, man. I love it, you know, and I really need to get to some of those shows. And I mean, I know they did they did Atlanta and they did Birmingham, but like I said, the Knicks just such a good place to go. And, you know, we had a good laugh talking about the Knicks last time, because if you ever go to the Knick, I suggest going to the bathroom before you go in the bar, because it's notoriously been one of the bathrooms that looks like the bathroom in Train Spotting that you
and
McGregor.
Oh God, yeah. Oh God.
And the crazy thing is, I would never go. My ass cheeks would never hit the thing in there, but. There's probably been more coke done off the backseat of that toilet than any place in America. It probably pretty much funded Pablo Escobar for most of the 80s and 90s. So we laughed about that last time with the Crows. So, but yeah, they played that, and I heard there was a good turnout for it. But, you know, anyway, yeah, I'm glad to see Steve going. And, you know, I'm not one of these guys that say, hey, they should do this. They should, you know, bury the hatch. Do what you want to do, man. That's my biggest thing right now. So, you know, everybody needs to enjoy their life. Everybody needs to enjoy the music they enjoy. I don't pass judgment on anybody. I think like I said, the one thing I can say is that, you know, I wouldn't be anywhere where I'm at. And, you know, I think I told you guys earlier, you know, it's like about this all stopped for like 14 years for me from 2000 to 2014. It wasn't even sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was just drugs. And, you know, and a lot of everybody knows that I'm very open about my, you know, my sobriety and my recovery. And, you know, and when people ask me, how do you do it? And how do you keep going? You know, and they all know I'm getting 60s on the horizon. It's getting closer all the time. And the first thing I'll tell you is I owe everything I have to my sobriety, my family, the music has. Mm-hmm. And it also, I got to talk to a buddy of mine last night who's a good friend and a huge fan of music, and he's a musician and stuff. And you know, he's early on in recovery. And I was just like, I said, trust me, man, if it's bothering you and you're playing and you just feel like you're missing on something on your playing, wait till you just stay sober long enough. To realize how good you can actually play or how good the music actually sounds. And that's what happened with me is that, you know, I can remember being sober for right at a year or even less and hearing Remedy come on and just busting out, man, just so gratitude, just tears of gratitude that I heard that song different than I've ever heard it in a long time. And of course, still being in the dark about what had been going on. First thing I jumped on was like, Google, where are the Black Crows playing? Broke up? What the, you know? And so, and so I was sitting around and I never made any As the Crow Flies shows, no Magpie Salute shows.
Oh, really? I saw Black Crow Smoke and Magpie Salute the same time, the same night in Columbus together.
Oh man, good. Very, that's it.
I took my kids, my wife and my kids. I'm like, I'm going to show you guys proper rock and roll. We're going to go do this.
Well, and I mean, the thing is, like, at that time, like I said, I should have gone at that time. It was really 2017 was really when my desire to really go see live music. And I had to figure out, like a lot of people early on in sobriety, they had to figure out their passion and get reattached to their passion because they'd been smothered for so long by substances and everything. And so I made myself, I was pushing 250 at the time. And so I started going to the gym every day. And I said, if I can get myself down to 180 pounds, I said, I'm going to go to Vegas and see. I'm a big fan of the Killers, and that's where they're from. So I went out to go. I did it. I pulled it off. I went out, I booked the trip to go to Vegas to see the Killers to open the T-Mobile Arena. And like, as soon as I booked the trip, two nights later, they announced Guns N' Roses, Slash and Duff coming back. So I got to go to the first show with Slash and Duff coming back at the T-Mobile Arena and stuff. So that was, that was real nice. And everybody was sitting around expecting Axl. Guns N' Roses didn't come on to midnight. My flight was at 7. So,
Was that your first time seeing Guns N' Roses?
That was my first time seeing GNR. The first time I tried to go see them was in Birmingham back in the day, and it wound up getting, that canceled, but basically ended a lot sooner than it was supposed to due to rain and people throwing mud on the stage, and Axl stormed off. I think they played 3 songs or something. But yeah, that was it. And I've seen them 3 times, and Dirty Honey's going to be opening for them on some shows in the U.S. And it just so happens one of them's right next to my house. I'm going to try to go there. But tickets for Guns N' Roses have escalated. The smaller the venue, the higher the price. So it'll be worth it to see them. But yeah, you know, I said, you know, you guys, and I appreciate what you guys do here too. I want to say that is that I really appreciate, you know, listening to y'all the podcast and go through and
hearing different
people's perspective on, their take on things. And, I listened to a couple of episodes today and I was just like going, you know, I mean, we live in a good time that we have this format, this digital format to do what we do. And it wasn't like that back in the day. I don't know. Y'all ever wait overnight in line for a ticket to buy a ticket? Not to get into the show, but to buy a ticket.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You too. I can remember you two spending 15 hours, I think, waiting in line. Got my ticket. A buddy of mine bought tickets the day of the show and was sitting right in front of me. I was just so, but yeah, I'm real happy with internet stuff now, the way we can do it. So, anyway.
Makes it a lot easier for sure.
A lot easier.
And it's nice too with long form formats, because these artists, especially when they're new, to get more of their personality, more of their backstory filled out. Because, you know, old press is just like the same 5 questions everybody gives you over and over.
Right. And that's the thing is, I like that, you know, now that some of the artists, especially, like, you know, and I keep going on and on about Charlie Starr, but, you know, Charlie's been on podcasts, and that, you know, these super names that we know from stage and screen or whatever. And then we've seen guys just like, you know, that are out there, you know, that want to talk about music back. Some of them I haven't, you know, and I think it's a little bit, there's 2 different eras we're in right now. We have this big high pop, Harry Styles and Taylor Swift and all that. And, you know, and if that's your bag, that's great. It's not.
Where'd Brian go? There he is.
So anyway, but yeah, I mean, that the engagement that you get with artists right now is at an all-time high. And I think a lot of them have realized pretentious, egotistical rock stars are a thing of the past. It's more about being humble and connecting. I think Southern rock and like blues and stuff, and even country, I think now they connect more with their fans than ever before. And I was thinking, because I'm a huge George Jones fan, and I was thinking, I listened to George Jones. I was listening to something, I was like, George talks about drinking, womanizing, you know, screwing up. I'm like, what does country music talk about now? Because I don't think you can sing about those things anymore.
Country music is a lot more like the pop country, like what hip-hop became in the 90s. A lot, how rich am I, how much stuff do I have, like it, I think it's kind of delved into that territory.
Yeah, I said maybe I need to listen to some new country or something like that, because I mean George cracks me up. It's like everything's it's just like, you know, one of my favorite all time songs is Willie Nelson. You know, you were always on my mind.
Yeah,
I mean, that is a song about him screwing around with another woman, but saying it's okay. You were always on my mind. I was like, that sounds like some of my bullshit I would try talking right there. Now you can't, you know, a lot of people have gotten detached from just, you know, enjoying a song for just the melody and just, you know, for the artist sentiment. And that's, that's what I like, because I think all this that we do and all these people that we know in our Stay Tall group, you know, it's not like-minded people. It's like-hearted people, man.
Yeah.
It's people that you hear with your heart more than your ears, you know, and that is I think what every artist wants to hear, man, is that, you know, I heard this song, but I didn't just hear it. I felt it throughout my whole body. I recently had a chance to speak with I was a big 80s fan of and fan still always of the Hoodoo Gurus. It was an 80s band, you know, they're from Australia and they came over for the first time. And I had a couple opportunities, including them, their guitar player and another band, tell them, you know, exactly what their music has done for me and meant for me, you know, and to the point, like, and I was like, you know, wherever I was at, bad, sad, down, up, whatever, you know, you were right there in my ear going, hey man, we're going to make it through. It's going to be all right. You know, this is good stuff. You know, you were right there, that song that you wrote. I mean, band The Glorious Sons, I don't know, a Canadian band, you know, who I'm a huge fan of. And 2018, it was funny, I was running around following other bands around and stuff, but that year, their album, which is definitely in my top 10, Young Beauties and Fools, I highly recommend it to anybody. That was the album, that was my favorite album that came out that year and stuff. And tell Chris Koster, the guitar player, I was like, hey man, you know, dude, I don't know where to start, you know, I don't know where to start, but thanks. And same way, you know, the Crows have been like that for me too. You know, 2020, like I said, was a rough year. You know, did you guys COVID twice?
Once.
I got South Carolina last summer at my daughter's national dance competition. I was the only person out of everybody to get COVID somehow. Thanks, so, Charles.
Hey, well. Brian, did you trace it back?
I had it early on, November of 20. I got it.
Yeah,
I had it. I'll tell you the funniest thing was somebody came to a Black Crow show that I won't name, David Hudson. sat next to me at the Tuscaloosa Crow show, and next day he goes, man, you ain't gonna believe this. Now I'm sitting at the Huntsville show now, so I would go see him the next night in Huntsville. I'm sitting at the Huntsville show. He's like I got COVID. I was like, dude, really? I was like, I don't want to hear it. I'm already at the show. I'm not leaving right then. I was like, if I'm already, you know. So we've always had an ongoing joke after seeing the Brothers of a Feather tour, you know, Rich was real sick halfway through that tour and stuff. We're like, also some of the, you know, bands that I love, and just sitting there picking through songs and stuff. And, went through a cancer diagnosis that year and came out on the other side of it, man, and stuff. And it was, but the whole time, man, it was right there. Welcome to the good times. Hotel Illness was actually played every day in 2020. What, from the COVID time, every day I got, it was the first song I listened to. My girlfriend never wants to hear Hotel Illness ever again. So,
well, you can play Remedy to clear it up. You can play Virtue and Vice. I mean, those are Virtue really Vice. Good ones. Yeah, man.
It was definitely a time that we struggled. We had a rough August. We moved. A lot of things happened and stuff. But like I said, man, it's the Stay Tall group. And that was like when I think I first got in or something like that, or maybe it might've been after that, but you know, starting to get to know David and those guys, it's been really great. David and Ian, man, are phenomenal. All you guys are. And I wake up every morning, grab the phone, look and see what was said the night before, because
yeah,
like an old man, I go to bed at 7:30. I go to bed at 9. That guy you met at that show is usually that guy that's laying on the pillow.
If you're not at the show, you're in bed.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there's a home life. I've got two kids. One that's he's full grown, 32, and then I got a daughter that just graduated high school this year and stuff. And it's always funny and stuff like that, because my daughter, who was my son, plays too. My whole family played. My dad actually played at the Grand Ole Opry. My grandfather was a he DJed a little bit on WSM back in the day. I got some pictures with him and Ernest Pub and stuff like that. And he's so we come from a family full of musicians, so we're never bored in my house. But it's funny, so I had these two kids and this girlfriend and stuff, and they couldn't keep me at home. And two Christmases ago, I bought this black lab for my girlfriend, and that dog's gonna be the end of that guy you met at that show. I'm telling you right now, I can't leave the dog. I had to leave it this morning. It just broke my heart. But like I said, we live in a good time. It's you gotta look for the music, and there's plenty of formats out there. And I think this right here, what you guys are doing, is wonderful for spreading the word, especially for bands like Toward the Thunderbolts, stuff like that, are phenomenal. And you know, I heard one of y'all's cast where somebody said that people don't know who Blackberry Smoke are, and I'm like, shame on you.
I know. Those guys should be playing arenas. You know, honestly, if you went by talent and just those guys should be in arenas.
I love Whiskey Myers too, but Whiskey Myers.
Whiskey Myers is playing arenas. That's what I'm seeing.
What I'm saying. Well, I mean, and it's like everything else. It's a geographical thing. I mentioned the Glorious Sons a minute ago. You know, they played New Orleans. I think there was maybe 75 people in the club. They played Canada. They're playing 10,000 seat venues that are sold out, packed to the rafters. You know, I think it's a lot geographical and a lot of exposure. I mean, of course, they've been exposed a lot more up in Canada.
Other countries are more willing and open, like, than the U.S. Like, you talked about all the stuff in Europe. A lot of bands that we like that are kind of lesser known, small here, they do great overseas, whether it's Jane Lee Hooker, the Cold Stairs, you know, right. All those guys, they do a lot better service over there.
Yeah, I was trying to see the Cold Stairs when I was over there last year.
They're so good.
And they wound up canceling the gig. And when we went over, I was told we were going to be there for 10 days. I was told you get two shows. You get to see two shows. That's it. And Liam Gallagher was one of them already. You get two shows. I did eight. So I went to eight shows. So the one night that I had off, the Cold Stairs was going to be, they were going to be playing. And I was like, come on, we can go down there playing right outside Wales, somewhere, you know, on the west coast of England. And we were about to get on the train to go, and then we heard that they canceled. So I don't know, for whatever reason, but
somebody got sick over there.
And so it was, seeing Rival Sons over there is like a whole new, I love that band. You know, Scott Holiday is a phenomenal guy. Jay Buchanan, and I'll go right on record, and anybody be damned, Jay Buchanan to me has the best voice in rock and roll. That's just my personal, take on it, because the guy has, I mean, when he sings, there's a temple that comes out of his head that I think is going to jump off of his, it's just this big vein that's poking out. And the guy can hit some notes. He goes over there, and I mean, I literally saw them in last year, and never seen 3,000 people sound like 300,000 people. It was incredible. So but yeah, like I said, things are going great. I think supporting it, they're dropping. Look at the cash they're paying to see Taylor Swift. You know.
I know. God bless. My daughter's gone. Trust me, I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean, I paid some hefty prices for tickets, but at the same time, I'm like, unless we pull together and promote rock as one, instead of bickering about, you know, a lot of people know me from seeing Greta Van Fleet and stuff like that too. Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, like, oh, I don't get it. You know, Led Zeppelin, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, man, the guys are out there. Jake Kiska, they're all talented musicians.
They are.
And out there playing rock and roll. Let's don't bitch and moan about it. Let's support. If that's not your bag, move along. Find what your bag is. But don't not rock and roll. Foo Fighters, man, they've got to be tired from carrying the weight all the time. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, there's other bands out there now that are coming out that that I hope to see in that Foo Fighters category at some point. But right now, you know, them and the old school, like the Chili Peppers and Pearl Jam, which, you know, I mean, like I said, I do respect Pearl Jam in that matter, that they have, you know, even Eddie with his solo career has been carrying the lion's share for a long time.
The legacy
time,
bands, man. Right? Those the are the legacy ones who've been doing bands. It.
Exactly. So, but yeah, like I said, we'll see what the future brings. And, I'll keep listening to you guys and, be looking forward to some. I know you probably
we'll keep
to ask me a lot of questions, because I usually just run my mouth, and anybody that knows me, knows that's how I pretty much do. So
Brian and I love our guests that can talk and tell stories. It's painful to do a podcast if you're always trying to pull something out. And everybody knows what our voices sound like. So,
well, I appreciate y'all having me on. And, you know, I look forward to, you know, like I said, hopefully coming up and seeing some shows with you guys. Columbus, I got friends in Columbus. And Columbus is a huge – and Columbus is a big place for the Blue Stones, too, man.
Yeah.
I will, let definitely. You know, and North Dakota has always been a dream, you know. Really? So is that the where's Sturgis is? South Dakota.
That's South Dakota, yeah.
See, okay, I'm the dumbass that treats Mississippi, like people treat Mississippi and Alabama as the same. It's not the same at all, trust me. But
let me know if you come up for the Aerosmith Crows show in Columbus, which is towards the end of the year. Let me know.
I definitely, it's got everything from here on out. It's going to be after I'm I've got a lot of stuff coming up in September. I'm going to try doing the Crows Aerosmith in New York or Long Island or whatever it is possibly. But then I'm heading out to Indio for the power trip for the Metallica Tool and all that going on. Then AC/DC, and we're hoping Ozzy, you know, Ozzy's on there too. So as I call it, the Geezer Fest is what it's going to be. And the mosh pit will probably be like Rascal Scooters going around in a little circle and stuff. So, but yeah, I definitely, like I said, appreciate you guys having me on and looking forward to it. And I'll keep in touch with you. Thank you.
Yeah. And Brian, I have on my bucket list, I want to go to a show with Rex. I've probably been to a show with Rex not knowing it, but I want to knowingly be there Rex.
Sure. I've been to a lot of shows in Ohio. I've never been to North Dakota. But I've been to like tons of shows in Cleveland. I've been to Columbus and Cincinnati. I've been to a bunch of
shows. Done a lot of Cincinnati shows at Riverbend and Taft and other places. So I'm sure unknowingly we've been in the same place at the same time, but I want to knowingly be part of that.
Well, a lot of the Stay Tall guys, we've talked about doing some. I know that they did the Moon Crush this year and stuff like that. But my bucket list is to get us all together for a Red Rock show. I mean, you know, we'll find a Red Rock show. I think that's the thing we need to stay on everybody about. So, and that would be a great time. So, have y'all ever been to Red Rocks?
No, and I want to go desperately. Okay. I've been to Colorado many times, not Red Rocks.
It's a great place to go, but it screws you up from going to any other place to see any kind of amphitheater. That's the one place, and I'll say this, and I promise y'all shut up, is that, they say all the time, you hear people say this, oh, there's not a bad seat in the house, and that's all bullshit. And you get there, and you go, there is a bad, Red Rocks, there is not a bad seat in the house, man. It is the perfect place to see a show. Promise you that. Come find out.
We expect you to be the ringleader to get us all to a Crows show at Red Rocks.
That's my favorite position to be, ringleader.
Where do all of our listeners, and you do, you're a good guy on social media, you're all about positivity and fun. Where do we find you on social media?
Okay, so on Instagram, I'm that guy you met at that show. I do have a TikTok, that guy you met at that show. I don't really adhere to that format a whole lot, but and then of course on Facebook it's Rex T. Cunningham. Send me a friend request. If you don't even send me one, my Facebook, I'll leave it open. I believe that music is to be shared, and you know, and love is definitely something that needs to be shared more of in the world right now. So come on, send me a message. I love to talk to people, as you can tell. So most of the nights I spend is on the Messenger group. So yeah, thank y'all for having me on, and y'all come check me out, especially on Instagram, that guy you met at that show, if you want to see what's going on, where I'm at. Starting tonight, I'm about to head to an album release. About to head to an album release party right now. It'll be nice.
Well, thank you so much, Rex, for coming on. We appreciate it. I usually don't push to wrap up, but my laptop keeps freezing up 10 times. Jason, you're going to have to send me the audio, seriously. But before we wrap, I just want to say to Rex, you know, sometime I'd like to talk to you, you know, not recording whatever, but the whole sobriety thing, you know, I've just recently got 14 years. I think it's great what you're doing. Second of all, I really appreciate what you said about like people having this sort of misconception about Southern rock being this dummy shit kicker music. I part of the reason starting this podcast is dispel that myth, and really hopefully there might be a few other people that really think about all the amalgamation of music that makes up Southern rock, and it's smart music and it's talented music. So thank you, dude, so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
Man, y'all keep on rocking, man. I love it, man. Let's keep this ball rolling. So anyway, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much, Rex, for joining us. It was great to hear you talk about, you know, especially that, you know, people's misconception about what Southern rock is. And it's not dumb music. It's not shit kicker music. It's smart music. And there's a lot of great styles that make up that amalgamation of Southern rock, and inspiring too, to hear about Rex and the sobriety that he has and all that. And that's great. I relate to that, but so much fun, hearing. I know he'd have a lot of stories about stuff and the Nick in Birmingham.
he is truly a guy I want to go to a show with. Just one, person, strict enthusiasm and energy he has. And two, just to have like these, have like real one-on-one conversations with him. This was great to talk to him here. We've always chatted in our group chats and stuff with him, but to have a personal conversation and experience a live performance with him would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, it'd be great to go to a show with him. You know, we talked at the end about Red Rock show.
It's going to happen one of these days.
Yeah, it's going to get done. You know, maybe Nashville, maybe Vegas. Also, who knows? But yeah, I don't know. Anything you want to add, Jason?
He's just a guy that loves music and loves experiencing live. Again, he had those great, we want to talk to him because of that and all the great stories he's had about the Crows, the Skinner thing, which was amazing, especially knowing somebody that survived the plane crash, and just have a true fan on here because we are fans and those listening to us are fans, and talk about that, just the experiences of living in the moment with rock music.
Yeah. So thank you so much for Rex coming on and talking with us. It's great. And can't wait to do it again. And always remember, Southern rock is reverent, loses blood. We'll see you next time.
Magic and a knot. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.